Rally rescheduled, harnessing COVID-19. I'm Barbara Cusack. President Trump decided to switch the date of an Oklahoma rally from Juneteenth, African American Freedom Day, to the 20th. Correspondent Carrie Shoemaker reports in a late Friday tweet, Trump said the change was out of respect for the holiday marking the emancipation of slaves.
Trump added he made the decision after many of his African American friends and supporters reached out to suggest he consider changing the date.
Later this morning, the president will address the graduating class at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. The West Point speech comes as a growing number of military figures slam the president for politicizing the armed forces as he seeks re-election. In New York, correspondent Steve Kastenbaum reports Governor Andrew Cuomo signed into law a sweeping package of police accountability measures.
New York's governor ordered local municipalities to join with their communities to work on reforming their police departments immediately.
We're not going to fund police agencies in this state that do not look at what has been happening, come to terms with it, and reform themselves.
He claimed no other state is going this far with police reform.
With 19 states showing increasing numbers of COVID-19 cases, the Senate Minority Leader wants to hear from the nation's experts about those spikes.
We need to understand why these spikes are happening and how to adapt our national response.
That's why Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says top health officials need to come before Congress.
And do it next week.
Linda Kenyon, Washington.
Blood reserves in the U.S. are critically low amid the coronavirus pandemic. The Wall Street Journal reports officials say the majority of the nation's blood banks have a one-day supply or less of type O blood. Since mid-March, the American Red Cross said more than 30,000 planned blood drives have been canceled. I'm Barbara Cusack.
Gold. It's soaring. Are you missing it? If you have an IRA or 401k, you probably are. Less than 1% hold physical gold. We've been told by Wall Street it's for crazy people. Really? What's crazy about an asset that beats stocks 2-1? I'm Adam Baratta, national best-selling author of the book Gold is a Better Way, owner of Advantage Gold, an Inc. 5000 member, and highest-rated gold IRA firm in the world. Gold is booming because gold is really about debt, and global debt is a pandemic. If you have an IRA or 401k, I want to give you my book for free. That's right, free. Text GOLD to 49776. That's the word GOLD to 49776. Learn why gold will outperform pumped up stocks from this point forward. Turn your IRA into a wealth growth machine. Text the word GOLD to 49776. It's time to stop being crazy. Text GOLD to 49776.
A federal judge ordered Seattle police to temporarily stop using tear gas, pepper spray, and flashbang devices to break up peaceful protests. Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin says, despite what the president may say, her city has things in check.
I don't know why the president is so afraid of democracy. Free speech is part of who we are. It's how we started as a nation. We will be fine in Seattle, and we don't need the president's help.
Major League Baseball told its players the league wants to know by the end of the day on June 14th whether players will accept its latest offer. The Associated Press reports the MLB offered players 80% of their prorated salaries and a 72-game schedule beginning July 14th in an effort to start the pandemic-delayed season. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed into law a bill that would allow college athletes in the state to earn money from endorsement deals. The law goes into effect in July of 2021. I'm Barbara Cusack.
This Father's Day, give Dad the gift of style with an Untuckit shirt. Untuckit has reimagined the traditional dress shirt to fit a more casual lifestyle. With over 50 sizes, they can fit any body out there. Shop their button-downs, polos, handleys, and more. Visit Untuckit.com and help Dad look sharp, even at his most casual. Or visit one of their 50 stores that are now reopened for business. Use code RADIO for 20% off your next order. With free shipping and returns, Untuckit.com. The place to go this Father's Day. Code RADIO.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
on the inner loop of the Beltway in Landham, right at the exit for US 50, exit 19. There is still the tractor-trailer fire out there affecting the right lane and the off-ramp. That off-ramp is closed at this time. In Jessup, watch for an accident on northbound 95 approaching 175 in the two right lanes, not causing much of a delay, but use caution there. In Virginia, on westbound 66, there is a work zone between 123 and Route 50 Fair Oaks in the left lane. Watch for brief delays. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL StormWatch 7 forecast.
Mostly sunny on this Saturday. High pressure in control today. Highs around 80 degrees with low humidity. Tonight, increasing clouds. Weak disturbance will move into the mid-Atlantic. Best chance for showers will be in the mountains, particularly on Sunday afternoon and evening. Otherwise, Sunday for D.C., partly sunny to mostly cloudy. Highs in the mid-70s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the StormWatch 7 Weather Center.
Money news shouldn't be boring, especially with so much uncertainty these days.
This idea that stimulus coming and we want to own more gold, what are they referring to here?
I'm not sure that I'm entirely agreeing with them.
So learn and laugh with Joe Salcihi
and OG
on the Stacking Benjamin Show,
where there's a money party in Joe's mom's basement going on right now.
Please, please tell us, what should we have learned today?
Listen and subscribe to the Stacking Benjamin Show, free on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you enjoy audio.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent, like Prudential and Mutual of Omaha, and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-589-5599. That's 800-589-5599. 800-589-5599. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Planning to buy a home? This is Chris Plant, and my friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial are the mortgage professionals that I recommend. Call Mark at 202-625-1221, online at cornerstonefirst.com.
Don't miss Lawyer in Your Corner with Ryan Wilson, Sundays at 9 p.m. on WMAL. Learn about elder care, estate planning, and more. Ryan Wilson Law is on your side. Visit RyanWilsonLaw.com. That's RyanWilsonLaw.com.
When it comes to using data, everyone is different. Which is why Xfinity Mobile created a different kind of wireless network. One that's designed to save you money by letting you design your own data, giving you more choice and control compared to other top wireless carriers. Now, you can choose unlimited, shared data, or mixed lines of each and switch any line, anytime. No one else lets you do that, or automatically connects you to millions of secure Wi-Fi hotspots and the best LTE everywhere else. So no matter where you are, we've got you covered. All while saving up to $400 a year on your wireless bill. Xfinity Mobile. It's wireless reimagined. Call, visit a store, or go to XfinityMobile.com today. Simple, easy, awesome. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Requires residential postpay Xfinity Internet. Actual savings vary and are not guaranteed. For Xfinity Mobile broadband disclosures, visit www.xfinity.com/mobile.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. Jeff Wolf is our producer and technician this morning, and we have plenty to cover. Story breaking late last night as President Trump took to Twitter, and he announced last night that he is rescheduling the rally that was to be held on June 19th. Now, as you probably heard in the top of the hour news, Juneteenth commemorates the end of slavery in the United States, and the president made his announcement on Twitter last night, and he said this. He said, "We had previously scheduled our MAGA rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma for June 19th, a big deal. Unfortunately, however, this would fall on the Juneteenth holiday. Many of my African-American friends and supporters have reached out to suggest that we consider changing the date out of respect for this holiday and in observance of this important occasion and all that it represents. I have therefore decided to move our rally to Saturday, June 20th, in order to honor their requests. That word from the president late last night on Twitter. That's one of the things we'll be talking about this morning. And also, the stock market. Wow. 1,800 point drop on Thursday, but back up 477 points on Friday. What's going on? We'll ask Rick Edelman. He is the expert on all things finance, and we'll talk to Rick coming up very shortly this morning. Seattle has been the epicenter of a lot of news coverage and a lot of controversy this week in the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, and you've probably heard that protesters have basically taken over a six-block area of Seattle. They forced the closure of the Seattle Police East Precinct. Seattle has five police precincts. One of them has now been closed. And what kind of impact is that having on the community? There's a big controversy with the mayor, and President Trump's gotten into the mix on it, and he's threatened to send in troops and clear those protesters out if the mayor or the governor will not do it. And we're actually going to take you out to Seattle this morning and talk with Nicole Jennings. She's a reporter at Cairo Radio there. She's been down in the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone in Seattle this week, and we'll get a sense from her on what's really happening on the ground in Seattle. And we'll talk with Nicole within this hour. Jennifer Harper will join us. Always has some interesting surveys and poll numbers, and you'll be interested in hearing what she has to say this morning on coronavirus and how people are feeling about it, and also an analysis of Joe Biden's economic policies. Interesting stuff coming up with Jennifer this morning. John Gizzi will join us. We'll talk about the statues and the symbolism and, of course, efforts to remove many of the Confederate statues. Also, statues of Christopher Columbus have been damaged, and there's even an attempt now to remove some statues around Winston Churchill. So those controversies have gone international, and John Gizzi always with a historical perspective, and we will talk with John about that coming up this morning. We're going to talk with Jim Trusty. You may have been following the General Flynn case. Yesterday there was a three-judge panel of an appeals court that heard oral arguments in the dispute between Judge Emmett Sullivan, who, of course, is the judge now in the General Flynn case, and his dispute with the Department of Justice. Now, the DOJ is requesting that those charges be dismissed. Emmett Sullivan says not so fast. Well, a three-judge appeals court panel met on it on Friday, and we will talk with attorney Jim Trusty about the status of that case. Boy, that one continues and continues and continues. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer will join us, and we'll talk with Tony about some of the controversies surrounding President Trump and the military. And you may have heard Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Mark Milley had apologized for appearing in that photograph that was taken at St. John's Church downtown adjacent to Lafayette Park. And we'll get a read from Tony Schaefer on that coming up. And as you know, K.T. McFarland, very close to General Flynn as his deputy when she was at the White House, is the deputy national security advisor. And we'll get her thoughts on General Flynn and the progress in that case. And also the announcement this week from the Senate Judiciary Committee that there's a strong possibility that 53 subpoenas will be issued for many members of the Obama administration, including James Comey, John Brennan, and James Clapper, among them Andrew McCabe, Susan Rice, and more. And those subpoenas authorized by the Senate Judiciary Committee this week. How will that play out? especially in an election year. We'll talk with KT about that as well this morning. So plenty to cover here on the Saturday Morning Update. It's great to have you with us. And we've got Michelle Murray in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
On the Beltway in Maryland, you will still find the fire department activity on the inner loop at the ramp to go onto US 50. That right lane and the off-ramp is closed with that tractor-trailer fire. Still the accident on 95 northbound in Jessup at 175 with the two right lanes blocked. That could be out there for some time, so do be aware of that. In the district, do keep in mind that South Capitol Street southbound will be closed between the Suitland Parkway and Firth Sterling Avenue due to construction, but detours are posted. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Mostly sunny on this Saturday. High pressure in control today. Highs around 80 degrees with low humidity. Tonight, increasing clouds. Weak disturbance will move into the mid-Atlantic. Best chance for showers will be in the mountains, particularly on Sunday afternoon and evening. Otherwise, Sunday for D.C., partly sunny to mostly cloudy. Highs in the mid-70s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
63 degrees in the nation's capital at 6:16 on the Saturday Morning Update.
WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
The Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Thank you very much for joining us. The stock market, a roller coaster, really the mother of all roller coasters on Thursday and Friday this week. We're joined by Rick Edelman. He is the host of The Rick Edelman Show. Rick, what is going on?
Well, when I figure it out, I'll let you know. I mean, that's basically the message from the market over the past several months. When the pandemic first began, the market immediately reacted by dropping 35% in 5 weeks, the biggest, sharpest, fastest decline in Wall Street history. And then that was followed by the best 50-day gain in over 100 years. And so the market is basically saying, oh, that crisis, it's over. Don't worry about it. It's all behind us. Except until Thursday, when the market fell almost 1,900 points on the Dow. And then Friday, the market started the day up 700, gave back before the day was over. A real topsy-turvy, volatile day. It's investors' way of saying, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to try to get in when it's hot and get out when it's not. And inevitably, they do the wrong thing at the wrong time.
So not only are you the host of the radio show, but you're the founder of the nation's largest independent financial advisory firm. What do you tell your clients when times are like this?
Well, we have two messages. One is ignore the short-term volatility. It's an effort to try to capitalize on it is like catching a falling knife. Odds are you're going to cut yourself. So don't try to play the game of guessing what the market's going to do in the short term. Instead, stay focused on your long-term goals and objectives, because we have a very high degree of confidence that the market will be higher 10 years from now, 20 years from now. But I have absolutely no confidence about the next 10 minutes, 10 days, 10 weeks, or even the next 10 months for that matter. This virus has been with us for months. It's going to be with us for many, many more months, very likely another year or two or even longer. And the economic implications of that are going to last for maybe a decade. That's what the chair of the Federal Reserve said this week. Millions of Americans will not only not get their jobs back anytime soon, he said that they probably will never get their jobs back. So we have to recognize the deep severity of this situation and make sure that you've got the financial strategies you need in place today to get you through this crisis.
Now, you'll talk about all this for 2 hours on the show today, starting at 10. But on top of that, you have written a 64-page report,
yeah,
a white paper. And what would people find in that white paper that would be helpful to them to understand how to handle their personal finances right now?
Yeah, my concern, Rick, has been that there are so many headlines and tweets from so many people, so many news sources. Everybody's trying to figure out what is going on, what's going to happen next. We turn to the CDC, we turn to the World Health Organization, we turn to the NIH, we're turning to Congress and the White House, we're desperately trying to get answers to the most fundamental questions. When will this be over? When will it be safe to go outside? When will I get my job back? How long will it be before I get another check from the government? We all want these answers. And what we're discovering is that every answer we get today is contradicted tomorrow, because the news is changing so rapidly in this unprecedented environment. And by emphasizing so heavily the daily news, we're making a fundamental big mistake. By focusing only on today's headline, we're not looking at the horizon. We're not looking at where this is taking us long term. And my concern is that people are making a series of short-term decisions that seem to make sense each moment, but in the long run are really causing you harm. And the way to solve that is by looking comprehensively, looking at all the dominoes of the impact of this virus. And that's what my report is. I spent about the last 3 weeks writing it, and we distributed it to our clients last week. It's available to all of your listeners right now. Just go to my website at rickedelman.com. You can download it for free. And this report looks at the economic impact long term of the virus on not just the stock market, but your pension, Social Security, annuities, life insurance, college and career planning, on philanthropy and charity and volunteerism, on agriculture, on every element of society that is being impacted by this virus. It's astonishing. As I was writing the report, it kept growing and growing. I thought it was going to be 3 pages. It ended up being 64 pages because of all the dominoes. Who would ever guess that this would unwind interest in self-driving cars and unwind interest in Uber and Lyft because people want safety, so they want to keep driving their own cars? I mean, who would have guessed that? And so it's hard to tell where the dominoes stop falling, and my report is an effort to present this for you so that you can help make sure that you're making the investment decisions that are best for you and your family.
Rick's white paper is available for download at rickedelman.com, and we will be listening for you at 10 o'clock this morning on the Rick Edelman Show. Thank you very much for such enlightening information this morning.
Good to be with you, Rick, as always.
6:21 now. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL, and as I mentioned, we're going to take a look at what's really going on in Seattle and talk to somebody that's actually been down in that Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone for a couple of times this week. She's down. Also coming up next, we're going to take a look at President Trump's Twitter feed, because he did something last night which might surprise you, and you probably won't hear about it on the major news outlets. That's next.
Our homes today are like little cities full of different interneting boroughs, like the entertainment district in the living room or the virtual fitness center in the garage. And Xfinity Internet keeps it all running smoothly with the fastest speed to power all your devices at once. You get coverage around town, from the financial district home office to the spa. Plus, get added protection to help keep your Wi-Fi network safe, like an at-home police station.
Xfinity Internet keeps your little city humming with reliable speed, coverage, and added security. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Get started with Xfinity Internet for $39.99 a month for 12 months with no term contract required. You'll get fast, reliable speed and the best in-home Wi-Fi experience with Xfinity XFi. And now you can get advanced security free when you get the XFi Gateway. Go to Xfinity.com or call 1-800-XFINITY today. N6-1520. Restrictions apply. New customers only. Limited to Performance Pro Internet with up to 200 megabits per second download speed. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After promo, regular rates apply.
Hi, this is Eric Stewart. If you've been playing with the idea of selling your home or maybe downsizing, well, tune in to my show Sunday mornings right here at 8 a.m. There I'll bring you this week's local real estate news and what you need to do to get top dollar for your property. With over 30 years of experience and the backing of Long & Foster, one of the top real estate companies, I've pretty much seen and sold it all. To learn more, check us out on the web at ericstewartgroup.com.
Vince here. Select Auto Imports wants to make sure your car buying experience is comfortable in this new climate. That's why all their employees are wearing gloves, masks, practicing social distancing, and adhering to all of the CDC's safety guidelines. Select Auto Imports also has an express store online where you can customize your purchase and arrange for a home delivery of your new car. These guys, true professionals, they provide great selection, quality, value, and a great customer experience. Check them out at selectautoimports.com. You won't be disappointed.
Don't miss the Giant Barbecue Battle virtual experience benefiting USO Metro and the Capital Area Food Bank.
From June 1st through 30th,
America's virtual food and music festival heats up summer with interactive activities including cooking contests, monumental sports zone, giant corks to cap, special giveaways, and more.
Learn to cook like a pro from America's best chefs.
Then enter barbecue contests for a chance to win thousands of prizes.
Watch your favorite bands on the Pepsi Lays, Famous Dave's, and Monster Energy stages. Admission is free. Visit bbqdc.com for details.
Gold. It's soaring. Are you missing it? If you have an IRA or 401k, you probably are.
less than 1% hold physical gold. We've been told by Wall Street it's for crazy people. Really? What's crazy about an asset that beats stocks 2-1? I'm Adam Baratta, national best-selling author of the book Gold is a Better Way, owner of Advantage Gold, an Inc. 5000 member, and highest-rated gold IRA firm in the world. Gold is booming because gold is really about debt, and global debt is a pandemic. If you have an IRA or 401k, I want to give you my book for free. That's right, free. Text GOLD to 49776. That's the word GOLD to 49776. Learn why gold will outperform pumped-up stocks from this point forward. Turn your IRA into a wealth growth machine. Text the word GOLD to 49776. It's time to stop being crazy. Text GOLD to 49776.
Six 26, Saturday morning update on WMAL. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rick Fowler. And you may know that Governor Phil Murphy is the governor of New Jersey, and he is a Democrat. Well, President Trump tweeting out this morning, just finished dinner in Bedminster, New Jersey, with Governor Phil Murphy and his wonderful wife, Tammy. Talked about many things, including the opening of the beautiful Garden State, getting people back to work, and rebuilding America's infrastructure with projects like Portal North Bridge, which I have given authorization to proceed. So for as much as you hear about President Trump going back and forth with the governors, especially Democratic governors, President Trump hosting Governor Murphy in Bedminster last night for dinner. A lot of controversy, as you know, in Seattle, and much of it is around the East Precinct. That is the Seattle police station that has basically been shut down with the takeover of that six-block area, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone in Seattle. And the police chief is Carmen Best, and this is what she had to say about the impact on emergency services from the police department.
Our calls for service have more than tripled. Rapes, robberies, and all sorts of violent accidents have been occurring in the area that we're not able to get to. So it is not a right for us not to be able to deploy our officers here.
So obviously it's affected the police force and their services. President Trump has threatened to get into the mix. Of course, the mayor and the governor, both Democrats in Washington State, have rejected that idea, but here's what the president had to say about it.
If they don't straighten that situation out, we're going to straighten it out. Let the governor do it. He's got great National Guard troops. He can do it. But one way or the other, it's going to get done. These people are not going to occupy a major portion of a great city.
And also wanted to get a little more audio we have from the Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best. This is Cut 14, and she goes into a little more detail on the 911 response times and what effect that has had in Seattle.
Our 911 response times have tripled in the area. They've gone from just over 5 minutes to about 18 minutes. Rapes, robberies, and all sorts of violent accidents have been occurring in the area that we're not able to get to. So it is not a right for us not to be able to deploy our officers here.
And one more clip that we have from Chief Best, because I think it helps to paint the picture of the impact this has had, not only in that six-block area, but on the city of Seattle in general.
The decision to board up the precinct, our home, the first precinct I worked in, was something I have been holding off. You should know, leaving the precinct was not my decision. You fought for days to protect it. I asked you to stand on that line, day in and day out, to be pelted with projectiles, to be screamed at, threatened, and in some cases hurt. Then to have a change of course nearly 2 weeks in, it seems like an insult to you and our community. Ultimately, the city had other plans for the building and relented to severe public pressure.
And I do want to have one more because the mayor, lucky cut 13 here, Mayor Durkin is the mayor of Seattle, and you just heard how the police chief describes the situation. Here's how the mayor describes it.
How long do you think Seattle and those few blocks looks like this?
I don't know. We could have the summer of love.
Well, tell that to the police who was supposed to be in that precinct, though. But I understand your sentiment, Mayor.
Summer of love. Okay. It's 6:30. This is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Coming up next, we'll talk with Jennifer Harper, The Washington Times.
Montgomery County Ride-On continues to provide bus service for essential workers and essential trips only. This includes healthcare workers and first responders, as well as trips for medical appointments, grocery stores, food distribution centers, and pharmacies. Face coverings must be worn and are being supplied on board buses while supplies last. Please board through the rear doors unless you need the ramp or have a disability. Montgomery County Ride-On. Stay safe. Stay strong.
And at 6:30 in the news, Joe Biden's search for a running mate is entering a second round of vetting. It's a dwindling list of potential vice presidential nominees, several black women in strong contention. Prominent Democrats with knowledge of the process tell the Associated Press that Biden's vetting committee has narrowed the choices to as few as six serious contenders after initial interviews. Among those still in the mix are reported to be former presidential candidates Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren. A potentially surprise inclusion is Susan Rice, who served as President Barack Obama's national security advisor, the Biden campaign dismissing the idea of a shortened list as early speculation. As we mentioned earlier, President Trump says he is rescheduling his first campaign rally in months to a day later so that it will not conflict with the Juneteenth observance of the end of slavery in the United States. Trump had scheduled the rally, his first since early March, for June 19th in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Black leaders said it was offensive for Trump to pick that day and place because Oklahoma was a city that in 1921 was the site of a fiery and orchestrated white-on-black attack. Trump tweeting late last night, "Many of my African-American friends and supporters have reached out to suggest that we consider changing the date." He said he's moving it to June 20th to honor those requests. President Trump will address West Point graduates today. About 1,100 graduating cadets will be there for Trump's commencement speech. In China, Beijing has locked down residential communities, 11 communities that are near a wholesale food market. They are trying to stem a new outbreak of COVID-19. Beijing officials say this morning that 45 workers at the Xinfadi market have tested positive for coronavirus, though they have showed no symptoms. That was in addition to an earlier announcement of 7 people with symptoms who had visited or worked at that market. Brazil's biggest metropolis has an unorthodox plan to free up space in its graveyards during its coronavirus pandemic. They are digging up the remains of people buried in the past and storing those remains in large containers. Sao Paulo's municipal funeral service said in a statement yesterday, those remains will be exhumed and put in numbered bags and stored in storage containers that it has purchased. Sao Paulo, one of COVID-19's hotspots in Latin America's hardest-hit nation. Gravediggers at the city cemetery say their work has grown only more arduous during that pandemic. A U.S. judge has ordered Seattle police to temporarily stop using tear gas, pepper spray, and flashbang devices to break up peaceful protests. It's a 2-week order. It was issued yesterday in Seattle. It is a victory for groups who say authorities overreacted to recent demonstrations over police brutality and racial injustice after the death of George Floyd in Minnesota. A Black Lives Matter group sued the Seattle Police Department this week to halt the violent tactics that it's used to break up largely peaceful protests in recent days. The mayor and police chief have apologized, but the police chief has said some demonstrators violently targeted police, throwing projectiles and ignoring orders
to disperse. 6:35 Saturday morning update. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Virginia, watch out for an accident now on the inner loop of the Beltway, a little north of Braddock Road. That blocks the right lane, so stay to your left and use caution there. Also, in Maryland, on the inner loop of the Beltway, US 50, there is still the tractor-trailer fire, and that has the right lane and the off-ramp blocked, so do keep that in mind. Traveling in Bethesda, there is some construction right now to watch out for on 355 southbound between Old Georgetown Road and Bethesda Avenue, and the roadway is reduced to one lane in that area. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Mostly sunny on this Saturday. High pressure in control today. Highs around 80 degrees with low humidity. Tonight, increasing clouds. A weak disturbance will move into the mid-Atlantic. Best chance for showers will be in the mountains, particularly on Sunday afternoon and evening. Otherwise, Sunday for D.C., partly sunny to mostly cloudy, highs in the mid-70s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
63 degrees, 6:36 on the Saturday morning update.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight. Driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
When it comes to using data, everyone is different. Which is why Xfinity Mobile created a different kind of wireless network. One that's designed to save you money by letting you design your own data, giving you more choice and control compared to other top wireless carriers. Now you can choose unlimited, shared data, or mixed lines of each and switch any line, anytime. No one else lets you do that, or automatically connects you to millions of secure Wi-Fi hotspots and the best LTE everywhere else. So no matter where you are, we've got you covered. All while saving up to $400 a year on your wireless bill. Xfinity Mobile. It's wireless reimagined. Call, visit a store, or go to XfinityMobile.com today. Simple. Easy. Awesome. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Requires residential postpay Xfinity Internet. Actual savings vary and are not guaranteed. For Xfinity Mobile broadband disclosures, visit www.xfinity.com/mobile.
Looking to refinance? This is Larry O'Connor, and my friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial are the mortgage professionals that I recommend. Call Mark at 202-625-1221, 202-625-1221, or online at cornerstonefirst.com.
This Father's Day, give Dad the gift of style with an Untuckit shirt. Untuckit has reimagined the traditional dress shirt to fit a more casual lifestyle. With over 50 sizes, they can fit anybody out there. Shop their button-downs, polos, Hanleys, and more. Visit Untuckit.com and help Dad look sharp, even at his most casual. Or visit one of their 50 stores that are now reopened for business. Use code RADIO for 20% off your next order. With free shipping and returns, untuckit.com. The place to go this Father's Day. Code RADIO.
Saturday morning update. Good to have you with us. Jennifer Harper is a fixture in the 6 o'clock hour. She joins us from the Washington Times, where she writes Inside the Beltway. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
You know, we've seen the lack of civility on Capitol Hill over the past, I don't know how many years now. Not getting any better, though, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, I think everybody's sort of shocked at how things have disintegrated, just even on a basic civility level or being cordial with one another or professional with one another. And I got so kind of irked about the whole thing this week. I wondered, and probably a lot of people already know the answer to this, but I wondered if there are really clear rules in place to govern the behavior of our lawmakers, since everybody appears to be so out of control. And the answer to that is, of course they do. And this is a quote from the U.S. Archives, everyone. The first Congress established civility as a core value of American government. Again, this is the U.S. Archives, and they are citing the Journal of the United States House of Representatives, April 6, 1789. So that's how far back this goes. And, you know, you have to remember, too, I think a lot of our listeners will remember that there used to be things like civility retreats and all these photo ops. I mean, particularly around 9/11, there were all these photo ops and very patriotic things that went on, and at least they were giving it a shot. And now they're not giving it a shot. And it's having a direct effect on the polls, of course. And currently, about 65 to 70% of Americans disapprove of the way Congress is handling its job. That's according to Gallup's latest poll, released around mid-May, so it's very current. And unbeknownst to me, there is currently something called the Select Committee on the Modernization of Congress. This was established over a year ago to kind of investigate ways to make Congress more productive, less dysfunctional. And part of their modus operandi is they include promoting civility and bipartisanship. So maybe something is happening there, maybe not, but I decided I would go and make sure that there are rules currently in place that perhaps are not the same ones from 1789, but there are rules in place against bad manners in Congress. And here are a couple of them. I'll just read them to you. These are from the Rules of Debate and Civility in the House. This is all online, by the way. This was issued by the House Committee on Rules. They say, avoid characterizing another member's personal intent or motives and discussing personalities. Refrain from speaking disrespectfully of the speaker, other members, the president, or the vice president. That's a direct quote.
Try that one again.
Yeah, that makes everybody laugh this morning. Anyway, and from the very extensive rules of the Senate come these two requirements. No senator in debate shall directly or indirectly by any form of words impute to another senator or to other senators any conduct or motive unworthy or unbecoming a senator. No senator in debate shall refer offensively to any state of the rule of the union. Those are the actual rules that are in there right now, and I just can't wait to see if our Select Committee on the Modernization of Congress makes any headway on making people behave.
I can just imagine the arguments they'll have in that committee. All right. Coronavirus in the headlines once again, and there's talk of new lockdowns. And what's the attitude of the American folks in the polls? You always are on top of what's going on in terms of poll numbers. And what are you hearing on coronavirus?
Oh, well, there's always a good survey about everything, Rick. You and our listeners all know that. And this is a very interesting one. And it's found out that 6 out of 10 all likely voters now agree that journalists would like to see the whole coronavirus shutdown, quote, drag on so that it hurts President Trump's chances of re-election in November. This is a perception that 6 out of 10 all likely voters believe. This is a interesting analysis by our friends over at the Media Research Center and McLaughlin and Associates. They found also that 87% of Republicans and 85% of conservatives agree with this idea, along with 39% of Democrats, believe it or not, and 41% of liberals. That really surprised me. And among those who support Mr. Trump, 88% agreed that there are journalists out there that want the shutdown to continue and all the crummy stuff to continue to certainly undermine Trump's chances in November. And interestingly enough, 48% of Hispanic voters felt that way about the press, along with 42% of African-American voters, 61% of men, and 59% of women voters. And our friend Brent Bozell, the founder of the Media Research Center, he said this is just more evidence of how at odds the American liberal media are with the American public. Honest journalism has been replaced with leftist advocacy. Even in these divisive times, both conservatives and liberals can agree on one thing. The media have it out for President Trump. So that's a different take on the coronavirus this morning.
And among the numbers you look at are not only polls, but you look at analyses that are done by various think tanks. And an interesting analogy in the analysis between Joe Biden and the economy and coronavirus?
Well, this is a very interesting moment here because a very extensive analysis from the Americans for Tax Reform. This is a grassroots group, and, of course, they're all for tax reform. And good fiscal policy. And here's what they have to say this week. Joe Biden's tax hikes may pose a greater risk to the economy than the coronavirus. How about that? And they're picking up on all of Mr. Biden's ideas about hiking up taxes. And they note that, according to their study, Mr. Biden's policy would result in tax increases for small businesses, single parents, families of four. He would raise the corporate tax from the current 21% to 28%. That's the highest tax rate in the developed world. It's loftier than China's, which is 25%, and Britain, which is 19%. And what happened this week was that, of all folks, Goldman Sachs came out with another analysis, and this is what they said. Although the coronavirus has caused the sharpest decline in economic activity on record, in some ways, tax policy represents a larger risk to earnings and consequently to equity prices. And it's funny because both CNN and the Fox Business Network connected all these dots. And CNN said, believe it or not, a blue wave in November could wipe out the tax overhaul that padded corporate America's bottom line and set off a boom on Wall Street. Joe Biden, the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, has proposed lifting the corporate tax rate to 28%. That would reverse half of the cut from 35% to 21% that was enacted by President Trump. And Fox Business said a 2020 election win by former Vice President Joe Biden would lead to higher corporate taxes and take the wind out of the stock market. So, interesting correlation between Joe Biden's tax and being lousier for our economy than the coronavirus, if you can imagine.
We all remember the Donald Trump approach to Jeb Bush in the presidential campaign in 2016, obviously causing a rift between the president and the Bush family, except for one.
Yes, indeedy, and that news came out this week. Already President George W. Bush has said he's not going to vote to reelect President Trump, and I can imagine how Jeb must feel. But how about former President Bush's nephew, George Prescott Bush? This is the son of Jeb Bush. He's the only member, Rick, of the Bush family who is still in public office. Well, guess what? He's a Trump guy in a big way. Well, here's what he had to say in a statement this week. This is the younger Mr. Bush, George P. Bush. President Trump is the only thing standing between America and socialism. I endorsed President Trump in the 2016 election cycle, and I plan to do that again in 2020. And Mr. Bush went on to say, it's clear that Republican policies are working, even in a global pandemic where we have had to take unprecedented measures to protect public health. The economy is already returning. Again, this is coming from George P. Bush. He's age 44, the grandson of President George H.W. Bush. And he's a fan of Mr. Trump, and the feeling is mutual. The president noted in April that George P. Bush was the only Bush that likes me. And then this week he thanked him for the endorsement, and he said he was truly felt honored by Mr. Bush's nod there. So happy little story, perhaps.
Roger L. Simon is a noted columnist, and he has an interesting take on the protests this week.
Yes, he did, and this is a very short and snappy item this morning. And Roger L. Simon, if you don't know him, he is a former Hollywood screenwriter and is a columnist, and he founded PJ Media. He's really a very smart guy. But anyway, he believes that all of the current political and cultural turmoil that we're seeing now with people marching in the streets, and he believes that all these people are suffering from what he calls 60s envy, as in 1960s. And he believes they all kind of wish they could have been back in the day when there were things to march about and radical protests in the 1960s against the Vietnam War, and that these events were all very noteworthy and worth imitating. And Mr. Simon says, this is why we are in the mess we're in. And that's 60s envy. So maybe you know somebody with 60s envy. I don't know, but interesting phrase.
Around the holidays, many of us end up, just accidentally for that matter, watching the Westminster Dog Show on television. You don't have to wait for the holidays because there is a dog competition that's actually got some substance to it.
Yes, it does. If you're kind of feeling jittery or melancholy or annoyed or tired or something like that, this is one little item for you. And as of Friday, yesterday, voting is now underway in the 2020 American Humane Hero Dog Awards. Hero dogs, how about that? Anyway, it's featuring 21 heroic hounds from around the nation. They work as service dogs, search and rescue, military dogs, law enforcement dogs, guide dogs, hearing dogs, or dogs who are bravely residing in a shelter. It's really very charming. And according to Robin Gansert, he is the president and CEO of American Humane. This unique effort brings attention to the life-changing, life-saving power of the human-animal bond, something that has been a core part of our organization's mission since 1877. And the finalists will appear in a big nationwide broadcast on the Hallmark Channel in October. If you're interested, you can vote right online. Find the pup of your choice at herodogawards.org. And it'll maybe lighten your day up a little.
Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Thank you, as always.
My pleasure, Rick. Have a good weekend, everyone.
7:10, it's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
On the outer loop of the Beltway in Annandale, between Braddock Road and the Springfield Interchange, there is an accident in the left lane. Stay to your right, use caution there. Now, there is also the fire department activity still on the inner loop in Maryland at US 50, exit 19. Tractor-trailer fire there has the right lane and the right off-ramps blocked at this time. Also, do keep in mind that in the district, there are some street closures due to the ongoing protests, including 15th Street. That is closed in both directions between Constitution Avenue Northwest and I Street. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 740.
Mostly sunny on this Saturday. High pressure in control today. Highs around 80 degrees with low humidity. Tonight, increasing clouds. A weak disturbance will move into the mid-Atlantic. Best chance for showers will be in the mountains, particularly on Sunday afternoon and evening. Otherwise, Sunday for D.C., partly sunny to mostly cloudy. Highs in the mid-70s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
63 degrees in the nation's capital. 6:52 on WMAL. It's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler, and a lot of attention has been paid to Seattle and the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. Nicole Jennings is a reporter with Cairo Radio in Seattle. She has spent several days down in the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone this week. She joins us. Nicole, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about that area of Seattle.
Yeah, so Capitol Hill is just east of downtown Seattle, so it's very central, very much in the middle of town. It's a very residential area, but also there are quite a lot of businesses in the Capitol Hill area. It's not as much office buildings and finance and things like downtown Seattle. It's more a lot of shops, restaurants, cafes. It's a place known for its nightlife. And these particular six blocks are in an area right around a park, Cal Anderson Park. So, you know, very much a gathering space for young people, a lot of bars, a lot of restaurants, a lot of small shops and things like that, and then apartment buildings as well.
So what has the impact been on the business community and those residents in those apartment buildings?
Well, the businesses, this is our first week kind of opening up from lockdown. So a lot of the businesses are still doing a curbside pickup or to-go orders anyway. Not a lot of them are having people, you know, sit in dining rooms. So I think a lot of that is still a holdover from COVID, more so than a response to what's going on here. But the businesses I've talked to say that they've had no problems with protesters. And we did hear rumors earlier this week that there was some extortion going on. The Seattle Police Department said that they had heard about it anecdotally, but did say that they've had no formal reports of it. You know, no one's filed a criminal report that they were being extorted. But we're hearing that some business owners were forced to pay a fee to be allowed to continue operating if their business is within the autonomous zone. But the businesses I talked to said that that's absolutely a rumor. One restaurant said that they're a part of a group text chat. With other businesses in the area, and that she hasn't heard anything from any of the other businesses, that on the contrary, they're very happy with how things have gone. The protesters are working with them. And she went so far as to say that after the several days of clashes that there had been between protesters and police leading up to the police leaving the East Precinct. She said that the atmosphere for businesses now is actually much better because things have quieted down and become a lot more peaceful since the two conflicting sides are no longer in the same space. It's only protesters there now.
We've seen the images of the East Precinct, which has been abandoned in essence by the police. We've heard from the police chief, and she has said that it has impacted emergency services. So what are you hearing on that?
Yes, I'm hearing that response times are down because they essentially had to leave their headquarters in this part of town. There are five precincts total in Seattle, so you know this is one of their most central locations. So it doesn't surprise me at all that response times are down. And I know it seems like in the last day or two there has been a little bit of a fork in the road between the police chief and the mayor of Seattle. In the past, during the protests and everything, you know, they were very much in lockstep. But now in the last day, the police chief has been saying things like, well, it wasn't my decision to leave the East Precinct. She says it was the decision of other officers, and that she would like to go back to the East Precinct and have a presence there again, whereas the mayor is really kind of staying away from talk of taking the East Precinct back and is talking about, you know, just letting the protesters have it and letting them, you know, do their thing and run things the way that they want, and kind of comparing it to a, I think she said Summer of Love, if I'm not mistaken, kind of a Woodstock moment. And indeed, that is, walking through there is something that I've compared it to. It is sort of like a giant progressive hippie block party, you could say, or hipster block party.
Is there any sense of when it might end?
No, not right now. The president on Twitter urged the mayor and the governor to send in the military and said that he would do so if they didn't. And they both said that he does not have the authority to do that. And the mayor says under no circumstance would she send troops in to retake that part of the city. And she has not indicated when or if she wants to take back the East Precinct.
In the videos that I've seen and the reporting I've heard, it seems to be a wide variety of demands that the protesters have. And this seems to be a much broader issue than just the issue of the police and George Floyd and defunding the police or disbanding the police. What are some of the other things they're looking for?
Well, I know they came out with kind of an official list of demands, but really each protester you talk to is really different. And protesters that I've talked to say that what they really want the autonomous zone to be is a kind of town hall for community members to get together with city leadership, police leadership, and really have a conversation about police reform. So they said that their intention was not to, you know, kick the police out permanently and take over the space and create their own country or anything like that. They just wanted to get a conversation started. I know a lot of people are feeling like their voices aren't being heard in Seattle right now. I know a lot of people are expressing disappointment with the mayor and feel like she hasn't been responsive to residents. So I think this is what they see as their chance to sort of create this forum and get the conversation started about real concrete reforms happening in the police department. Now, of course, depending on which protester you talk to, I mean, there's kind of a variety of what people want to see. Some people are full abolitionists where they want to abolish police entirely. Other people are saying defund, cut the police department's budget in half. Other people still are saying, you know, let's not quite go to as far as those measures, but let's have some serious reforms within the police department. So there's kind of a wide spectrum, but first and foremost, I think, is, you know, these people are trying to call attention to themselves by doing something very unusual and some might say extreme, but they're trying to make the city stop and listen to them. And I think it's working because they certainly have everyone's attention right now.
We've heard reports that some of the occupants are carrying weapons. What can you tell us about that?
I have been told by protesters that there are some people standing guard at entrances who have weapons, but that these weapons are concealed. And I'm told that they certainly don't intend to intimidate anyone walking into the area by flashing these weapons around, that they only want to have them in case violent white supremacist groups show up. And the protesters say they've gotten threats from some of these groups online and, you know, just want to especially be on guard because there was a person who showed up last week and started shooting. But they say that these guns are not meant to stop anyone from walking into the zone, and I've walked in and out of the zone several times, kind of walked all through it, and I have my microphone with me and my press pass, and, you know, some of the protesters don't necessarily trust members of the press, and so that sort of makes me maybe a target for stares and things like that, that no one has harassed me or that I'm not allowed to pass or ask for my ID or anything like that, and I haven't seen others stopped and asked for ID, so it's, you know, very much a free coming in and out of it zone.
Nicole Jennings at Cairo Radio in Seattle. Thank you very much for the insight.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
7 o'clock news is next on WMAL. Then we're back with John Gizzi, Attorney Jim Trusty, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and KT McFarland.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.